Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Buckley. Hopefully this is working. I just went from speakerphone to regular phone. Welcome to Open Government Radio. This is January 26th, and today we're going to be talking about all the various things that have happened over the past few weeks relating to open government, particularly the Open Government Directive and the compliance deadline for that was last January 22nd for federal agencies to talk about present high value data sets to be posted on data.gov. And if you'd like to call in, there's just a lot of different things to talk about today in addition to the data sets. But if you want to call in, this show is mostly about, is heavily oriented towards what people want to talk about. So feel free to call in. The call-in number is 917-388-4210. And I'm my guest. I'm the host, right. So this is Steve Buckley again. I'm the host. And Chris Jones is my special guest today, and he will be helping me with the discussion. And I'm going to see here, I'm looking at my dashboard, and please forgive me, but this is only the second time I've used this. So let's go and see if I can click this button. And is there someone from the 202 area code that would like to talk about open government? Hello? Anyone there?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, Steve. This is Doug Ward.
Oh, Doug. Oh, very good. I'm glad you joined us today.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting, I guess, for Chris Jones. I saw the 202 area code, and I knew that wasn't him. I didn't think it was him, but in any event, feel free. Well,
I'm in and saying I'm here.
Okay. And I think Chris Jones is joining us, and I'll have both of you introduce yourselves as soon as I click on this thing here. And let's see, is Chris Jones there?
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hi, very good. We also have Doug Ward, who is on the line right now. I was just saying I was about to introduce, you can both introduce yourselves and give the people out there a sense of who you are. I spoke with Doug Ward yesterday about his blog, but since I'll let Chris go first, and then we can start talking about all things open government, at least all the things we can talk about within an hour, and with help from other people who call in. So go ahead, Chris, and tell people a little bit about yourself.
Just real quick, I'm in the collaboration space, doing some consulting work. I have lots of energy in getting teams working together, leveraging social media, web technology. I think it's called new media now in government circles. So I've got lots of interest in what's going on with open government and seeing what I can do to help out.
So you would consider yourself a collaboration consultant?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, background is primarily in IT, but, IT's gone through a lot of changes in the last, 20, 30 years, and collaboration and, working, in work groups across those functional silos, that's, a big challenge in really any large organization, whether it's corporate enterprise or government. So, try to tackle on both fronts, but certainly in the context of open government, it's a big issue.
Mm-hmm. So you're coming from the information technology aspect and realizing that there's more than just technology. There's this human or social aspect involving culture change that perhaps technology can't fix all by itself. Is that it?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. In fact, sometimes technology amplifies problems that are there with culture, process issues, et cetera. So IT problems are always a combination of people, process, and technology. And important thing there is not to start with technology, but to use it as a tool to, you know, drive a better result overall.
And not just pave over the cow paths, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Uh-huh. Having from Massachusetts, yes, that's a common. That's why Boston has all those funny roads up there. That just
we have those in North Carolina too.
Yeah. So anyway, and your blog, that's the best way for people to is.
It's sourcepov.wordpress.com, or you can actually link to it off of my Twitter profile. My Twitter ID is sourcepov.
Okay, and that's so somebody would go to twitter.com/source. P-O-V as in Victor,
right.
And they'd be able to find you.
Absolutely.
So, okay, very good. And let's turn to Doug. I just spoke with him for the first time yesterday. He also has a blog and had some interesting information there. We'll be talking about the data sets, but first let's let him give a little background on what he's all about, and then we'll dive into the subject at hand. So go ahead, Doug. And
thanks, Steve. My name is Doug Ward. I am a developer and consultant in Washington, D.C. I've been in the trenches, a developer working at government agencies for quite a while now. And when the focus on this open government initiative started getting a lot of attention, I became quite interested because there's certainly a lot of need for bringing some of the tools and technologies, some of the open social tools and technologies to government. But as has already been mentioned, you know, one of the great challenges is just, you know, bringing the cultural shift as well. And so having this initiative from the very top levels of the administration, sort of encouraging agencies to adopt these open, transparent methods and tools has been really something I have welcomed and I'm very interested in. So that's how I got interested in the subject. I do have a blog that I put out there. It is opengovblog.us, and it's my efforts to track what's going on and hopefully participate in the community community discussion about these things.
Okay, and that's opengovblog.us. Okay. Easy to remember. Just like Open Government Radio.
Yes.
So, .com. And, right, I probably should give people a better sense of who I am. Steve Buckley. I'm a former federal bureaucrat. I worked in Washington, D.C. at various levels, headquarters, regional office of at five different federal agencies during most of my 25 years there, and also worked for consultants and so forth. And during my work, I was involved in internal guidance and compliance having to do with environmental matters, but it's very similar to all the other types of things where you have directives and policies and rollouts and implementation and so forth and so on. So that's all this talk about implementation of the Open Government Directive is near and dear to my heart. And a lot of that work that I was involved in also had to do with public involvement. So this is kind of like, now that I'm retired, I can perhaps be a spokesperson for or a voice or a conduit for people who are still on the inside and maybe a little reticent in pointing out how things are going well and how they're not. And I think everybody, I can't think of anybody who would want government to be less open than it is now. And so it's kind of like mom and apple pie. There's it's everybody wants it. It's a matter of how do we get there or how do we get more of it. So in any event, and I have a blog at ustransparency.com. So anyway, there is, I do have kind of a, somewhat of a surprise announcement, or I guess you could call it a scoop in the news business, but since I'll save that for a little later. So for the people who hang on and listen to us chatter on a bit about data sets, you'll be glad you waited, I guarantee it. So, but let's talk about what this most recent deadline of last Friday, and I know if people do go to Doug's blog, he does talk there about which agencies have complied and which agencies have not complied with providing the high value, the so-called high value data sets. So maybe if people haven't pulled up that your blog for, I guess that would be the yesterday, January 25th posting for at opengovblog.us. Then
yeah,
if people want to pull, if people want to take a sense, you know, to before you dive into it or whatever. Anyway, if they go to opengovblog.us, they can see what you wrote for January 25th. And then, but for those who don't want to do it and just want to hear, maybe you could just quickly tell us, Doug, what you found there. And
sure. Well,
summer.
As you mentioned, the first deadline of the OpenGov directive was actually last Friday. All agencies were required to post three high-value data sets to data.gov, and most of them did, and I basically just took a look, and I just wanted to note that 26 agencies actually hadn't posted their required three data sets to data.gov, and I, you know, just out of curiosity, I dove into the on data.gov, they have a page, the agency participation page, and I dove in and just started looking at some of the data sets. And I know there's some other organizations and people doing this, because I think it's a good idea to just take a look at how agencies are complying with these requirements, not really with the intent of, you know, coming down hard and blah, 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 but the whole point of this is to get agencies to start putting up information so that we can start learning what the obstacles are and learning how to help agencies better meet the requirements of the directive. And the first thing that struck me is I looked at a data set posted by the, what was it, the Board of Broadcasting Governors, I believe that's what it's called. And essentially what it was a Excel file of FOIA requests from last year. And you know, looking at it a little bit more, and we're doing a little bit more research, you know, there's also a data set posted by the Social Security Administration that contains similar information, also 2008 FOIA requests. But the thing that really struck me is that they're both completely different formats. So, you know, the whole point of posting data to data.gov is to post it in some way that is machine readable so that other developers and whoever may be interested in it can really take it and sort of make correlations or process it and analyze it. So one of the initial challenges, really the point of my post yesterday, was to point out that it's great to post information, but we really have to have a discussion about, you know, correct formats. How are we actually going? What are we actually going to do with it? How, you know, does it really matter just taking some information that used to be in a PDF and, you know, pulling out the tables and posting them in an Excel file? That doesn't really strike me as meeting the requirements or the spirit of what we're trying to achieve. So I wanted to get that discussion going. How are we going to actually get to the point where people aren't simply posting things to get a check mark next to their name, but posting things that really meet the whole vision and spirit of the Open Government Initiative.
Right. Well, one of the problems that with any type of implementation, when you're ordering people, if you're in charge and you're ordering your people to do this and that and jump this way and jump that way, is that they can't read your mind, so you're going to have to rely as a boss or as upper management to spell it out. And, of course, when you say things like, I want you to give me 3 data sets and I want you to do this and it should meet this criteria, then, and if people do that, then they've met the letter of the law, so to speak, and not the spirit. So if there's still something lacking, then it's up to management really to be more clear, and especially when it's something about transparency, then you have to, it's right then and there, that's the example of how putting it in plain language, putting it in clear language, so that the people who you're trying to tell or inform understand what it is that you're trying to convey to them. So I can understand that people might be a little underwhelmed and by the result, but at the same time, if they are in full literal compliance, then I have sympathy for those people, because I've been in that situation where they said, well, I did what the directive said, and if it wants me to do more, then it should tell me that. So that's the problem with prescriptive type approach. But
Steve, Doug, could I jump in?
Absolutely.
If I could kind of look at the glasses half full side of it, I agree with what you said, for sure. I mean, certainly there's some agencies that just haven't really engaged. But if you look on that same side, and I will direct folks to look at this data.gov/OGD page, because it really has a lot of information on it. These are the agencies that did submit. There's a star next to each row that the agency has declared, hey, we believe this is important. So it's kind of an agency declaration of intent, hey, this is meaningful. There's also a rating column, which is interesting, because there's obviously people, voting. I'm not sure what the mechanism for that is. But as you scroll down through it, you can see there's a ton of agencies that have posted. And I'll admit I'm a little bit swayed by the red stars, because that's certainly, if you see a couple of red stars and there's a bunch of them in a row, you might say, hey, this agency's really got it. And that's a function of votes. So not to overemphasize that particular column, but I can see I've got a list here. It looks like 10 agencies that have more than 3 high-value data sets. Again, that's their own determination of what high value is.
I just want to make sure people, if they're following, trying to follow along, if they go to data.gov, then on the upper right-hand side, at least for today, it says featured data sets, open government directive agency data sets, and that's in the upper right-hand corner. And then I guess right down below you see a link where it says view these data sets. Is that what you're looking at, Chris?
Exactly. And I had to kind of hunt for the icon that would launch that page. But you can go straight to that page with data.gov/OGD, and that'll take you straight to it.
Okay, good.
Okay. So I'm just, actually, the first time I saw this was about 10 minutes ago, and I'm again, not to take away from Doug's comment, because he's right on. A lot of agencies haven't stepped up, but there's quite a few that have. So, to me, I think what you want to see in this kind of situation with the directive is, the bar has been raised kind of high, the time frames are aggressive, but there's a dozen agencies that are proven that, absolutely can knock it out if they put some focus to it. So I think that shows progress, and it kind of sets the bar for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Although, and I did look at this, the ratings where anyone can rate it. You don't have to be. It could be virtually anybody who can get to this page. Let's see. I was fooling around with this yesterday, and how to vote for this. What was, now I can't get anything to come up, I guess. Where is it? How do you get the vote on this? You guys,
I think you just see. Just click for metadata and to rate data set. I think you just have to click on the document itself.
Oh, okay. Let's give that a try.
Yeah.
I'm just doing the top one under agriculture just for the heck of it. Census of agriculture race. Oh, yeah, I see. And then it pulls it up, and there's a better description of what goes on there. And then there's a thing on this, about halfway down the page, where it says your rating.
Yeah.
And then, but you don't have it. Apparently, I didn't vote for any of these, but apparently you can don't have to sign in or log in. Is that?
Well, that's the rating part actually sort of gets to my point. I don't want to My point isn't really to knock any agencies. As I mentioned, I've been, you know, in the trenches with a lot of these agencies for years, and I understand how hard it is to get things out there. So that's really not the point. The point is to sort of critique in a positive way, you know, the actual performance. And I guess this rating thing allows us to do that, which sort of begs the question then, you know, how are we going to discriminate or determine which data set is a quality data set and which data set is not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have this option to vote, you know, 1 to 5 stars, what's the difference?
Right. Well, it does explain it there, I guess, you know, kind of like movie ratings or whatever, but it, you know, apparently anybody can go in there. There's only, like, I've noticed there's only a few votes, like 2 or 3 votes per data set, so for all I know, it's the guys who put it up. Yeah, 5 stars, okay, you know, and you can't tell who voted. So
here's the challenge there. I think Doug, you raised a good point about, you know, who the constituents are. I mean, if you're in the agriculture section, and obviously if you're in farming, you know, you're going to have a point of view, but a lot of folks would not. If you're on transportation, they're talking about child seat safety. Parents are going to care a lot about that, and other folks might not have an opinion. So there really is a very diverse set of constituents and citizens that are going to weigh in, and it's almost impossible, I would think, to normalize across all of those. I mean, who's going to vote on the NASA measurements of surface temperature? I mean, it's tough to normalize that and say, okay, this is the universal value, right? So to me, if each agency says this is what we think is important and the citizens come in, whatever their constituent group is, and says, yeah, we agree, and maybe you declare victory with that and you don't try to get too comparative across agencies, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I had mentioned to what probably both of you, that I was reading the press release that OMB had put out that was something in the header. I don't have it right in front of me, but it was something like from last Friday that said, federal agencies release treasure trove of data. Like, well, okay, well, if it is a treasure trove, then it's not up to OMB to say whether it's a treasure trove or, you know, this will be the people who are getting it will tell you whether it's a treasure trove or not. So, and that there is a danger there where the marketing department, so to speak, gets way ahead of product development. And I'm just afraid that some people will that this will become overhyped about how great it is and so forth. But, you know, if people are getting engaged and being involved and being more understanding about what's going on in the government, then they're the ones who tell you whether they're understanding and clear on what's going on and so forth and so on. So I just would caution those in the public affairs departments to not try to go too far down the road without looking behind, over their shoulder to see if people feel the same way. So anyway, I see that I think Chris just must have been on his cell. He just dropped off. So he may try to call back in again once he gets out of the dead zone. But anyway, I just want to recap for people who are listening. This is Open Government Radio. Feel free to call in. I have a dashboard here, and we haven't had any callers yet. So, you know, if there's something you want to talk about besides data, that's fine. The call-in number is 917-388-4210. And I'm Steve Buckley, your host. And with me, at least at the present time, is Doug Ward from OpenGovBlog.us, and hopefully rejoining us is Chris Jones, who is Twitter. You can find him on Twitter at SourcePOV, Victor. And he also has a blog, SourcePOV. So let's see. The other thing that I wanted to point out was something I came across last night. And I guess I'll take you along with me, Doug, if you're available to...
Yeah, I have about 10 more minutes. Then I'm
10 more minutes, okay. Then fine, what I'll do, maybe by that time Chris will join us again, is that, and the best way, I don't have a short URL for this, but it's, where'd it go? There we are. Okay. So for all of those of you who are listening now, I'm going to give you a URL. You can either write it down or get a pen, or you can type it in. I'll say it real slow because I want you to follow along on this website that I'm taking you to. It's www.usa.gov/webcontent. That's all one word, webcontent, /open.shtml. And that's it. I'll say it one more time for those who didn't get it. www.usa.gov/webcontent/open.shtml. And if you go there, now, if you, have you pulled that up, Doug?
I'm looking at it right now. Looks like a fantastic resource. I'm excited about the email your open government questions to the White House. I have a couple points of clarification, and that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, well, for those who haven't pulled it up and are just listening, this is a website that's put up by the GSA, General Services Administration, and the heading of this page is Open Government Directive, Guidance for Agency Web and New Media Teams. And as you, I'll just, like I said, I'll kind of narrate this as I go down the page. I think this has been created fairly recently. Well, it says updated January 22nd, so that might even have been the first time. But the Office of, so there's things here that, let's see, the Office of Management and Budget issued Open Government Directive, blah, blah, so there's a link to the Open Government Directive. It mentions the Federal Web Managers Council, but and then it talks, of course, about the data sets that were due January 22nd. And it talks a little bit about that and gives a link. It does say to coordinate with your agency data.gov point of contact, but there's no live link there. It does give a link to data.gov. The next, and then it gives another deadline, which is Open Government web page, which is due to, for each agency to be open on February 6th. And the interesting part there is that there is a link to the coordinate with your agency open web page point of contact. And it gives, if people open a new page there, you can see that that goes to a listing of points of contact, I guess. I'm not sure if these are new media directors and or just web managers for their agency's website. I see one name here. I know they're a new media person in a public affairs office, and I see other people who I know to be web managers, so it may just be a hybrid type of listing there. But at least there are points of contact there that I haven't seen anywhere else, you know, as far as associated with the Open Government Directive. And then further down, they have many more links here. Sample, they give a sample web page of what it would look like.
Yeah, Steve, I just opened that up, and I have to say it's really an interesting wireframe. It's a pretty nice looking sort of contemporary web 2.0-ish look and feel, and it's it'd be great if a lot of agencies could sort of move in that direction. I think it's kind of a lot of fun they posted this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, it's very... I mean, this is very exciting. They're like, great. They're doing what they said they were going to do, and so forth and so on. And the thing that content recommendations, guidance on the content, You know, so they're making it as easy as possible so everybody doesn't have, all the federal agencies don't have to reinvent the wheel. Because, and it should certainly be the same format so that citizens won't have to go to every different website, because they are in different websites. You know, they have different formats now. And so forth. So at least there'll be one page that's standard throughout the government, if nothing else. There are also resources for, let's see, CFO agencies, and I think that was the one that was the thing that was of interest to me. The Open Government Citizen Engagement Tool. Yes, halfway down this page of this that I've given, that we're scrolling down here, underneath that you'll see resources for CFO agencies using the Open Government Tool, and that will take you to the citizen engagement platform, or at least the beginnings or the underpinnings of the citizen engagement platform. And there's a bunch of more links there about IdeaScale, which was the software that was used in the last summer during the phase one of the Open Government Directive dialogue for brainstorming ideas. And there's you can see there's a moderator's guide and all this, all these other, and FAQs. And if you go down to the bottom, there's agency points of contact for the, I mean, there's just a whole slew of things here that for what's going on, it's very comforting.
You're surprised. You know, you'd said earlier that you were going to be revealing something useful, and I have to say, this is a really useful page. I wasn't aware of this before, so thank you.
I mean, obviously,
you didn't do it, but you know about it.
Thanks for sharing. But obviously, sure. A lot of people have put a lot of effort and time into setting this up, and it's just very comforting. It's a very pleasant surprise for those of us who have been, who are very interested in the Open Government initiative, to see that things have been coming along. Because, you know, it's sometimes, if it's too quiet in there, it's the same thing with, if you got young kids, you know, it's like, wait a minute, it's too quiet in there.
Yeah.
Are they? What are they doing? Are they doing anything at all? Are they, you know? So I would say to the people at in the GSA the Citizen Services Group that. That this is very, very comforting to see that there's something that's going to be set up and so forth. Now, the hard part is, of course, if you have something to say, you know, do you show up at 24 different agencies if they're all going to have different platforms? If you want to say the same thing over and over, do you have to go to all 24 or whatever? And I will say I did try to get someone.
So, I mean, I think the point is each agency is going to have some version of, you know, they're all required to have a slash open page, and they're going to have some version of, you know, what GSA is suggesting on this page. Hopefully it'll be, you know, agency appropriate and valuable per agency, but I think the answer is yes. Each agency is going to have an agency.gov/open page that's going to have all of this information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people may think, yeah, and different agencies do have different operations. They're, you know, they have a different subject. They have, you know, and so forth and so on. But they're not. But there is a lot of usefulness in standardizing the approach. So
that would be
we'll
nice.
See how
so
it goes.
If you went to each one, it wasn't a completely a completely new experience. Hopefully, there will be some similarities between all the efforts that. It'll be a little bit easier to navigate and make your way around.
And I did reach someone there to see if perhaps, it was virtually last minute, but I called someone at GSA earlier today to see if they might be able to, you know, walk us around on this, you know, to say, you know, okay, well, here's something interesting, and what's this or that, or, you know, just as we're doing now, but have somebody with some authority to be able to, who set this up, who can explain, you know, well, what we're trying to do here, and, you know, kind of give us more of a guided tour than I'm doing. Although it's very easy to read this page that I'm looking at. It's easy to follow the links and so forth, which I would hope, since it was basically the product of a lot of web managers. So definitely a minimalist look to it, so you don't have a lot of graphics and so forth jumping out at you. But it was too late for somebody to come on and do that. They were a little they were not sure what the process was for getting clearance to be open about their open, you know, pages, which is kind of funny or ironic in a way, because the public affairs people are still, I think, as this is going forward, trying to figure out what their role is, because ordinarily they are they're kind of a gatekeeper in a way to be the go-between between the people who on the outside who want to know information and the people inside who have it. And of course they've been the go-between, so now they've got to try to figure out a way that they don't get in the way.
And I think the public affairs people are often put in a really tough position, because they're, you know, people are coming at them from every which direction, and now there's this new open government initiative, so there's yet someone else coming at them saying you have to put up this, and this, and then they're required to, you know, keep a hold on everything that's going on. So I do think that that they will welcome a lot more guidance and examples about how to actually do this stuff. So hopefully this page will get out to all of the public affairs people in the various agencies.
And I think Chris Jones has rejoined us from the dead zone.
Hey guys, I lost my connection. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm gonna have to bow out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to bow out. So nice talking to both of you, and hopefully Steve, you'll talk to me again, have me on at some point, and I'll certainly keep up with the show and your blog, and hopefully keep this thing going.
Okay, and that's Doug, right?
This is Doug.
Yep. Okay, wait, Doug's bowing out.
I'm bowing out.
Okay, just want to make sure who's leaving.
I'm back. Yeah, Chris is here and Doug's leaving, so we'll have a tag team.
Gotcha.
See you around, Doug. Gotcha. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, fine. Sorry, and I didn't. You must have been listening to us and trying to jump in, Chris. I needed to click you on to unmute you. I was looking at the other page, so my apologies.
Okay.
If you were
no problem,
trying to make yourself.
I think I was mid sentence on an answer, and I think I lost my cell signal, so I apologize for that.
Okay. So anyway, but we were going over this, and I had sent you the URL
right.
Before the show, so you're familiar with it.
Yep.
Any of your thoughts on this?
No, I think it's awesome. I agree with you guys. There's a lot here. The standards are great. The ideas are great. But per my previous comment, though, on setting the pace, I really was excited to see the DOT site. I've actually tweeted this. If you guys will look at the #OGD stream, you'll see it. But I think the page is actually live now. If you go to www.dot.gov/open, this is the most the farthest progress I've seen of any of the agencies in terms of actually having an open site up, which of course is one of the requirements of the directive, and they're actually ahead of the deadline. So to have content out there. In fact, I think they had an empty page out very early and got a couple knocks for having an empty page up, but it was quite a bit of good information, including their plans and the timeline and progress against the timeline. So I don't know if you've seen other slash open pages. That's kind of what people are using to refer to those now, is the slash open page. Basically, it's the agency slash open. I do notice that the Department of Labor has a page up. So if you go to dol.gov/open, you'll see a page there, which is also good. Of course, their focus at this point is still on the data sets, which is right on schedule. I mean, even to have an open page at all is a bit ahead of time. What was the deadline for that, Steve? Is that the 8th? Is that next Friday?
The data sets?
Yeah, the data set deadline has passed us, but the open page being up and live, that's supposed to be next weekend?
February 6th, I believe.
Yeah.
That's the date.
That's Saturday, I think. So, yeah, they're supposed to be done by next Saturday, and here's two agencies that are already up and live. So DOT and DOL, you know, obviously kind of setting the pace there.
It's, let's see, February 6th, yeah, Saturday. So, yeah. Certainly DOT, they were the ones who, this is the type of thing that really all the other agencies want somebody else to go first and make it okay to do that. And so that, and that's what leadership is all about.
Right.
They're taking, and they're not really waiting for to be prodded and do that. So I would say that and they were the hosts of our Open Government workshop on January 11th, which, for those of you who were not aware, was at the Department of Transportation headquarters in southeast D.C., down there, the Navy Yard, where I used to work at one time. It's totally different down there now. And the team down there, and that web, and if you want to find out more about what went on at that workshop, a lot of it was live streamed. Dave McClure from the GSA Citizen Services office spoke in the morning. I think he was like the second speaker that came on in the morning. But if you go to opengovplaybook.org, and you'll be able to find the links there to the January 11th workshop. There was also another workshop back in November when we thought the Open Government Directive would come out by November, but it got delayed, into course, until December 8th. And so anyway, it was very good. So that was good practice for the one we had on January 11th. And I should say, mention that Giovanni Carnaroli is the associate CIO at DOT, and he, along with his team, which involves Jen Gustetic, who was one of the workshop organizers, along with Lucas Chiaffi, and so forth. But you can, and others who were involved in setting that up. But you can find more information by going to opengovplaybook.org, which is actually a wiki. So if you've never worked with a wiki before, feel free to play around with it. You're not going to get in trouble. Nobody's going to call you up and say you screwed up our playbook or anything like that. But encourage people to go there and share best practices and so forth and so on. And not to compete with GSA's effort, but to complement it. And do things perhaps like open government radio, that, like this very show, things that they can't do or are prevented from doing, or so forth and so on. So, was there something else? Here, I need to go back and see if we've had any comments. Clicking around here, I'm saying nope, no other callers. But yeah, so if anybody wants to call in with questions, this is kind of an open space right now for callers. To let us know if there's some aspect or comment they want to make on the Open Government Directive or just Open Government and so forth. The call-in number is 917-388-4210. And is there something that you've been wanting to, you've been holding back, Chris, about perhaps culture change?
Well, sure. Let me, before we move off the DOT site, though, I was just going through and looking at things to take away. So, yeah, sure, I'll be happy to share on culture in a second. But
whatever you want.
Yeah, just a couple of takeaways. I mean, again, if you go out to the www.dot.gov/open, just there's an awful lot here, and I'd encourage any of the agencies that are working on this challenge at the OGD to take a look at it. First of all, you know, is an open page possible? Absolutely. Here's one. It looks solid. It's got a lot of good content. Achieved it ahead of the deadline, so obviously with some effort they're able to do that. They're soliciting public input. They're going to have an online interaction capability in early February, which is coming up. So, I mean, gosh, that's the participation right there in a meaningful way. One of the links talks about hurdles, and they talk about actually the technology issues, policy issues, and the culture issues. So obviously they're realizing this isn't going to be a slam dunk. It's one thing to publish data sets, but to really get the agencies and the citizens kind of working together on projects or dialogue of any kind, there's a lot of hurdles there yet to go. So they've recognized that. And they've actually got an outline of their plan already kind of online. So they're encouraging public to kind of jump in and you know, provide input, you know, what should be in the plan to do that. And actually, Steve, what is that third milestone? Is it the is it April?
April 7th, 2010 is when they're supposed to have completed, finalized the open government plan.
Again, here's DOT, and they've already put the outline for that plan on their site. So they're ahead of schedule on the open page, and they've already got an outline for their plan online. So I just, again, you know, not to call them out, you know, for arbitrary reasons. I just think they're really setting the pace and taking a leadership
mm-hmm.
position on this stuff. I think it shows up on their page.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And
yeah.
and that's to the benefit of everyone, particularly the other agencies that are just getting their open government teams together. Like, they're going, thank goodness, we can just copy this. Change DOT to DO whatever, you know.
Right.
I mean, it won't be quite so easy, but certainly it will save a lot of time in that respect and money. So
that's actually, and it you know, it sounds kind of tongue in cheek, but that is a strategy. And in this particular case, I think copying best practices is encouraged, right? I mean, if there
mm-hmm.
is a way to get out there and get out in front and set the pace, and it's something that other folks can leverage and share, I mean, why not do that? That gets more content in front of more citizens faster, and it gets everybody kind of. In fact, if you want to just spend a minute on culture, do we have a second? I don't know if you have more callers coming in.
Nope. Nobody seems to be interested in anything we have to say.
I hope that's not the case.
Well, at the moment.
At the moment.
Yes,
okay.
This could be a classic show. No. Show number two, or really the first real show, because the first one was really just a day after the workshop call-in where we asked people how they liked the workshop, so it was mostly just a test. So this is really the first time that we've set something up, and it's really, okay, now we're talking about anything involving open government, but yeah, still on the open government directive.
It's just, I think there's lots of news to report, though. I mean, it's great that there's so much progress. Now, back to that previous show, that didn't you indicate that there were over 30, about 40 callers on that show, or people that were checking the Blog Talk Radio link?
Oh, well, that could may very well have been people. It says there's a little piece here on the dashboard that shows that 30, not on the dashboard, I guess it could even show on the. But if you go to opengovernmentradio.com, then that what shows up on your screen there shows that people are
right. You're breaking up.
37, yeah, seven people have at least to it.
Yeah, you're breaking up a bit there. Hopefully it's not going across the air like that.
Well, I did. It's funny, my page just refreshed here for some reason, and I didn't know why that was.
Yeah. Is there a way to reset your connection? I hate to lose you. We're not going to lose the show if you reset. You are breaking up. Actually, I'm hearing you online. I've got the online link on my speaker as well, and it is breaking up on the broadcast.
Okay. Well, you know, we did have weather-related internet problems yesterday, so it may be that my internet connection. You still?
Yes. Well, we're still talking, but I think there's definitely some static.
I'm going to call in. I'm going to call in on my cell phone then.
Okay.
You're
going to be a caller to your own show. That's one way to get callers is to call in yourself, right?
That's right. I guess that would still work as long as Blog Talk Radio is still working. So I'm going to.
We've only got a couple minutes. Anyway.
Oh, I would have to unmute myself. Yeah, there's only a few more minutes anyway.
My audio is not breaking up. So yeah, if you want to call in, I'll go ahead and just share a couple thoughts on culture, and I guess we can kind of push to the close because we're running out of time anyway. We got about 10 minutes left.
So am I breaking up right now? Because I can hear you okay.
Okay, well, now you're clear. Well, maybe we should just hang tight. I think you calling into your own show might be a little problematic. It just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? So, just a couple quick thoughts on culture. Obviously, one of the challenges to any kind of progress in open government is getting at the issue of culture, and the culture of basically, you know, risk avoiding, concern about, you know, controlling information going out, or any concern of you know, we're doing the right thing, you know, we need to be careful, we need to be conservative. And culture is a very, very powerful force, not just in government, but really in any large organization and society in general. And there are quite a few things that can be done, but I think the danger is to oversimplify it. I've been doing some research on the area of a culture, not just in government, but culture in large organizations. And there's a lot of caution about, you know, let's not just try to, you know, find a panacea, or let's just pull the lever and say, you know, we've addressed culture. It really is a pretty complicated undertaking. One of the things you do is you set the vision and you, you know, get a model of that future state solution. That's why I'm kind of bullish on the DOT progress for the open page, because it really is not just a leadership investment in progress, but it does show the other agencies, hey, this is how it works, this is how it looks. You know, it just it creates some momentum up front, and it gets people more comfortable talking about this as a real, viable change in how government works, and not just kind of a, you know, administrative directive, you know, do the minimum required and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of what leadership is. It's,
yeah.
Because otherwise, if you say this is how everyone else is to do, act in the leader, you start acting in that same way that you want everyone else to act. So it's all about not that Washington doesn't have all the answers.
Right.
And that the White House doesn't have all the answers and so forth, which is, as we know, is what it's supposedly all about, the idea that there's some wisdom out there, and if we can, in a democracy, which is how it's supposed to work, the idea that the people are not just mindless drones to be ordered about, that they have some brains, then if we put our heads together, and especially technology allowing that to be more visible, but it all comes back to the idea that the people asking for the input and the feedback have to be open-minded. The idea that, yes, you have to keep reminding yourself, okay, is this the way I see things? Is it just the way I want to see things? Even as we implement open government, there's that human tendency is still there. So there can't be a top-down open government directive.
Right.
And they did have the open government dialogue last summer, but it has to be continuing to model that. And from what I've seen from the GSA site, that there's a strong influence that will go forward. But I do have some concern that, like I said, the public affairs people all about will be banging the drum about what a wonderful job they're doing. It's like, hey, you know, banging the drum about how great you are is not exactly a good sign of humility. So
right. Well, you know what, though? And you mentioned the point about the top-down. I mean, sometimes the top-down is okay, but you can't rest with that. You can't just assume that's going to be enough. And that's one of the key messages of culture change in really any large organization is to, you know, state the vision and to kind of declare the mission and to say, you know, these are the values that we're going to espouse and carry forward. I mean, that's where you start, and that's absolutely required and fundamental. I think that's happened here. But then the whole organization has to believe it. They have to buy it. They have to see it. They have to know that it's real. And I think there's work to be done there. I mean, just getting the data sets out there is progress, and getting these open sites up is progress. Mm-hmm. But to get every agency to be actively pursuing this, not just as a, you know, as a, somebody told me to do this, but, you know, I believe this is now part of our long-term mission. You know, that is a culture change, and that has to happen, and that maybe is happening. It'd be nice to say that it's happening now, but I just feel like we've all got to focus in on what that means, how to accomplish it, how to measure it. You know, and there's any number of consultants that will tell you, you know, here's how you try to have a change of culture, or, you know, manage change, and all of that content is valuable. I mean, you want to look at and listen to those inputs, but I certainly, at this point, based on what I'm seeing from DOT, what I'm seeing on the data.gov site, and just all the work that's being done, the workshops that are being run, the wiki that's out there, I think it's real, and I think people are realizing that and starting to look around and say maybe we need to actually do this and be serious about it. And I tell you, if the citizens get a hold of it and start to really interact and say, hey, you guys want to engage? Let's engage. Now you've got, you know, a whole new ballgame. I think that's kind of where this is headed.
Yeah, and I would just, on that last point about the citizens, they're the ones who are the final judge as to whether they are being engaged, whether things are clear, being made clear, i.e. transparent to them. If they don't have a clear understanding of what's going on, then anything else is, if people think that they're successful in public engagement and you don't have the people showing up and understanding what's going on, then it's not happening. And that's
exactly.
And it's that those measurements, those are the measurements that they have yet to come up with to gauge.
We touched on this before earlier, though, and I think it's a huge point. I think the early attempts at crowdsourcing feedback in the summer when they did the original, I think it was the phase three drafting for policy and some of the early work in the OG Open Government Directive. When you say, hey, public, I want feedback, I mean, you're going to get a lot of haters and a lot of, you know, just you know, non-relevant feedback, and that's going to happen. I mean, you just have to kind of, you know, let that come in. But there's also going to be some positive, you know, meaningful insight coming in, and you know, part of the process of engaging is actually looking at it and reacting to it and providing feedback. Hey, this is what we heard, and this is how we feel about that input. It's not just, you know, accepting emails and declaring victory. You actually have to engage with those folks. And there's so much to be learned on both sides of the fence. I think the agencies have a lot to learn. I think the public has a lot to learn. And as soon as some of these advocacy groups, you know, realize they've got a new path to the White House or a new path to, you know, get their voices heard, I think you're going to see a surge of advocates weighing in. But I think this is designed really to reach beyond that and get to the, you know, the open, the general public, and you know, how do you engage them? How do you get the public to respond to something like this? And part of it's just awareness and kind of getting the word out. You know?
Yeah, and it's not an either or. You know, it wasn't transparent yesterday, and now it is. It's
right.
More transparent, more participatory. There are people have been participating in how agencies do their work and so forth. So, but to figure out what's working and what's not working is where these measures need to come up. And that's one of the things that with the OMB is working on with a open government dashboard. They figured out they want a dashboard, but they haven't figured out what they want on the dashboard. And that's the thing to me is I'm a little concerned that it's going to be they'll be measuring the wrong things.
That's true.
The
you know, we're still learning. Oh. They're learning. We're learning. So that's progress. I don't look at that with a problem.
Yeah.
One last point on the plan. I did see a reference to this in the DOT planning.
And we have about a minute left. So I'm just saying.
I'll be quick.
Mm-hmm.
There is some energy in their post about mission, and I think it's really important for agencies to look at their mission and to try to address open government in the context of their mission. You know, what Justice or DOD is going to do with their open page totally fundamentally different than, say, GSA versus, say, you know, DOT. So the mission comes into it. What are we trying to exchange? What is the important dialogue with the citizens? And I think the plan has to reflect the mission. So hopefully that is getting around everybody to realize that.
Okay. And I hope to have somebody from GSA and OMB there checking to make sure it's okay to come out and play. So maybe next week at Tuesday at 2, every Tuesday at 2, we're going to have an hour long. So this is Open Government Radio, and I think we're almost out of time. So thanks for Chris Jones for joining us from Source POV. Also, there was Doug Ward from opengovblog.us, and I'm Steve Buckley from ustransparency.com. And we'll see you next week.
So long.
Take care. We have 90 seconds. So, okay, well, I guess that's it for now. And also, I should mention that there is a Google group for people who aren't into Twitter or blogs or this or that. There is a Google group who just people want to keep up with by email about what's going on with the Open Government Directive. If you go to my website, which is ustransparency.com, there is a link there to the Open Government Directive Google group. So I guess we'll leave it there, and that's what sounds like we talked about a lot during the course of an hour. And so thanks for I hope to see you again at opengovernmentradio.com next week, and This is Steve Buckley signing off. Have a nice week.